what's going on out there, everybody? It is Friday, October 2nd, 2015. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Deal Podcast, brought to you here exclusively on Gerwick.net, your source for pro wrestling since 1997. We're also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. I'm the host, Frank D, but I'm not alone today. I got my big man here, Adley Green. What's going on?
Same old Frank D. I survived last weekend with the wrestling show Elk Mania 3, is an independent show I put on for charity. It was a resounding success, and now I'm here at Gerwick.net talking all the news and professional wrestling.
Absolutely. We got a plethora of topics to get through today. But before we get to that, want to let you know right now, you can head over to ProWrestlingTees.com. Right now, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. We have a 20% off sale going on right now on all Gerwick.net and GRP merchandise. So check it out right now. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. You use the promo code Gerwick, G-E-R-W-E-C-K, at checkout, and you get the discount. It's a very good deal right now. So check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Also, YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast is the official place for Gerwick Report Podcast clips. Interviews, everything's up there. You name it, like and subscribe to our channel. We really appreciate your support. Also, Adam, go ahead and plug your social media while you're at it.
If you guys want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Atlee Green on Twitter. And also, I do blog about wrestling from time to time. So hit me up at thegreenscreen.net, thegreenscreen.net.
Very, very good. Now, Adley, a lot of things been going on today in the world of pro wrestling. And we're going to start out with the biggest story right now, a picture that has gone viral. I mean, it's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. The supposed war, the shots been fired. Finn Balor outside of the TNA offices today, and basically telling him to suck it. What's your thoughts on this?
Everybody is blowing this picture way out of proportion. Bottom line is just Finn Balor having a little bit of fun and wanting to get us talking about it. It means nothing. There's going to be no interpromotional war. There's going to be no backlash. There'll be nothing going on whatsoever with the picture, and we'll all forget about it come Monday morning.
Absolutely. I mean, some people have said that this is going to be the war to settle the score. This is going to be WWE versus TNA. In the reality, it's really not. I mean, I'm understanding that NXT, WWE are in the area doing a show tonight, and that's the reason why Finn Balor went down there and took this picture. It's nothing more but Finn Balor, like you said, having some fun, and I thought it was hilarious when I saw it. I mean, it's like, wow. This guy is standing right outside the TNA offices, and at a time when the TNA future is very uncertain, I think it's great. I really enjoy, you know, stuff like this when it happens. I thought it would have been kind of cooler if Samoa Joe had been the one sitting outside the offices with an NXT shirt on. That would have been sweet.
That definitely would have been a much better statement, but I think in the end, Finn Balor, NXT champ, having fun, telling the TNA boys to suck it, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
So basically what you're saying is you don't expect there to be any kind of like Monday night on Raw. We're not going to see, you know, NXT versus, you know, TNA, and we're going to, you know, have a War Games type match going on. You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think so. And besides, I don't think TNA can really afford to go to war with anybody right now, so they just need to worry about their house.
Right. You know, and since the last time we did an episode of Raw Deal, Adley, Dixie Carter, the president of TNA Wrestling, has came out and publicly stated that, we are in fact, you know, being removed off of Destination America. She finally admitted it. Now, you know, for yourself, for months and months and months, people said that Dave Meltzer was full of shit and that the article was wrong. You remember TNA had threatened legal against anybody, any news site out there that was reporting this story because they said it was wrong. But all of a sudden now, you know, she admitted it. So I want to get your thoughts on TNA and what the future is going to be. As we are on, people don't even know this, that TNA's WrestleMania is this Sunday, Bound for Glory.
That's right. Bound for Glory is this Sunday on pay-per-view. I don't know how many buys they're going to get. I think it's for a lot of wrestling fans, it doesn't seem as special as it used to be, because in years past when you watch Bound for Glory, there were no rumors about TNA's demise. So it's kind of, TNA right now, in a way, it's kind of like watching that TV show where you watch the first 5 episodes and you find out it's going to be canceled at the end of the season, and it makes you wonder why even bother watching it. So if TNA's future is so uncertain and their prospects of getting a new network are worse than ever before, it's kind of like, why am I going to not only continue watching their product, but drop $30 or $35 to watch this pay-per-view when they might never be on the air or even in business in 6 months from now.
Right. And supposedly this Monday, you know, it's been reported that this Monday, Dixie Carter has a major announcement to make. Now, I have no idea what this announcement could be. I'm kind of curious to know what she has to say. But usually when Dixie has a big announcement to make, it really ain't shit.
That is true. Dixie Carter either lies, or when she's done making the announcement, it's either something that's false or it's something that just makes you go, why did you waste her time in pumping this announcement? It's happened time and time and time again with her. And if there's anybody that's sitting down at their computer and waiting with bated breath to hear what Dixie Carter has to say come Monday, then you're a fool.
Right. I totally agree with that. And on the subject right now of TNA, Adley, this past Wednesday night, TNA Impact aired on Destination America. The initial airing of the show got 275,000 viewers, okay? And they got 69,000 viewers on a replay, so the combined viewership for Impact this week was 344,000 viewers, which is down from what they got last week. Going into their WrestleMania, I gotta say that's a big disappointment for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it just goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, how in many ways Impact Wrestling is a lame duck show. You don't know what's happening. You don't know if they're going to be on the air. We already know that they're not going to be on the air at the end of the year, so it's kind of like, why get emotionally invested in what they're doing? I mean, the wrestlers are trying hard. I mean, no, this is no slap in the wrestler's face at all. I mean, they're doing their thing, but it's just the company just fails time and time and time again. And again, I mean, I'm not going to be as excited to watch their program when it looks like they're not going to be in business in about 6 months.
Right. And you know, speaking of the ratings here, it's funny because they got 344,000 viewers this week compared to 394,000 the week prior. So I think that's a very interesting number. But the ratings, Atlee, are off all over the board here. I mean, Ring of Honor this week did 127,000 viewers for their show compared to 168,000 that they got last week. So that's a big drop-off for Ring of Honor.
Let me talk about Ring of Honor quickly for a second. Now, yeah. Ring of Honor's ratings have been up and down, but mostly down over the past month. And the fact of the matter is, Ring of Honor has an amazing in-ring product, but their production is bad. And the thing, and I hate talking bad about Ring of Honor because I have a lot of friends that wrestle for Ring of Honor, but the production of that show is horrible. And in my opinion, if you could somehow get, when you watch TNA and then watch Ring of Honor, the production is a lot better with TNA because they have a deal with Destination America. They get more money for Destination America than Ring of Honor does. If Ring of Honor could somehow find a way to get some money or get someone that's willing to pay for their production, I think things will turn around for them, because when it comes to a television product, not only does like the content have to be good, but it has to actually look good as well. And if the content's good, but the show itself doesn't look good, people aren't going to tune in. And I think that's what's happening in Ring of Honor.
Exactly. It's not must-see, you know, TV for me. I mean, I've said it many, many times already, man. They're dropping the ball here with Ring of Honor, because here's the thing. That show that airs on Destination America is already being syndicated on Sinclair stations all over the country. So when we finally see that show, people have already saw it. You know what I mean? People have already seen it. There's nothing about that show that makes it spectacular that says, hey, I got to watch this show. Now, my idea has always been with Ring of Honor is Ring of Honor should have a secondary TV show that's specifically for pushing the pay-per-views and making that show feel special. That should be the flagship show for Destination America. But, you know, production values are a very big deal. And this is not the day of ECW where you can get away with that type of shit. This is the era of, you know what, people rag and flag on TNA, we do it, but look at their production, you know, compared to Ring of Honor.
I mean, ECW was able to get away with it back in the day because of the fact that ECW promoted themselves as this hard edge, underground, you know, promotion where them looking like a second-rate promotion with not the greatest production values actually augmented their presentation. I mean, it made it feel more gritty and for real when you get Ring of Honor, where their synopsis is they promote and push the best wrestlers on the planet. Like they always talk about, you're going to see the best wrestling in the world on their show every single week. And arguably you do, but the fact you said it perfectly, Frank, must-see TV, there are a lot of shows on television that look like must-see TV, but in reality, they're not. Once you look at the content and the story and whatever else you want to say, Ring of Honor, I mean, it's must-see wrestling, but it doesn't look like must-see TV, and that's the problem.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing on that show that gets me excited to see it. I mean, yeah, they have the best wrestling going today. I mean, but that's off the board. You can get, you know, pretty good wrestling on Raw. You know, you get pretty good wrestling on Impact, but when it comes down to the bottom line of selling pay-per-views, you know, they just don't do it.
Well, I think the problem is I read the reports a few years ago, and actually even recently, that Sinclair Broadcasting, the company that owns Ring of Honor, they're really not concerned with making Ring of Honor, you know, bigger and better, or making Ring of Honor like the number two or even number one wrestling promotion on the planet. The way they look at it, we have this nice niche wrestling program to air on our syndicated stations. If we need to sell advertising, if we need to fill up, you know, TV hour blocks, and that's it. Like, they're really just kind of holding Ring of Honor down, unfortunately, you know, as the company that could give them more money, could make them a viable player, but they're just, you know what, Ring of Honor's just, you know, a placeholder for us and nothing more.
That's too bad for them that they've gotten into a deal with this company, and this company is not even willing to invest in the product. And that's really a very, very shitty situation for them.
It actually makes so not the Ring of Honor, but it makes Sinclair look bad, because they are a television broadcast network station, whatever you want to call them, and yet one of the properties that they own that they push out in syndication looks, from a production standpoint, looks crappy. So it's kind of almost like an oxymoron. Like, why would you even allow this to air on your television station, especially something that you own? If you own something, we just want it to look as good as possible. And they have the funds to get it done, but they don't. So Ring of Honor is definitely in a tough situation right now.
I mean, I've seen, you know, indie shows, at least, that look, you know, better lit than Ring of Honor does.
Agreed. I mean, Ring of Honor, when they put their pay-per-views on, 9 times out of 10, their pay-per-views are outstanding. And I actually, Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal at their last pay-per-view in June was one of the best matches of the year. But the production value, it just was lit poorly. They barely had a lighting rig, and it just didn't look like a professional product, even though you were seeing great professional wrestling in the ring.
Exactly. And we're not, you know, knocking Ring of Honor talent. We're just knocking the people that own the organization. You know, give the wrestlers something out there to be, you know, proud of. Give the fans something to be proud of. Because in the world we live in today with corporate wrestling, that they just look bush league.
And plus, I mean, I hate saying this, being the guy that loves the wrestling part, professional wrestling, but the majority of professional wrestling fans out there do not watch wrestling for the in-ring content. I mean, I think the actual match, like move for move, hold for hold, is like the last thing that the majority of wrestling fans watch it for. They enjoy it more for the entertainment value, enjoy it more for the storylines, enjoy it more for the characters, and then, yeah, they'll watch the match. But when you're appealing mainly to an audience that, you know, watches wrestling for the wrestling, that's also going to be an uphill battle as well, because you're really marketing the majority of your content to the smallest portion of the wrestling audience.
Absolutely. And another thing that the wrestling fans like to watch is the entrance when the wrestler comes out. That's a big part of it, you know, and the music and all that too. So it all goes into you know, what we're talking about here as far as production values. Ring of Honor needs to step it up. But like you just said there, they got handcuffs on right now. You have an organization that doesn't really want to put any money into the product, which I said before, it's just too bad. As we continue here with the ratings news, though, Adley, Monday Night Raw rating this week was a 2.33. That's what they got, and that's down from a 2.47, and Raw averaged 3.3 million viewers. The decline of Raw continues, as well as Thursday Night SmackDown last night. That rating was a 1.57 compared to a 1.62 last week. So the decline in wrestling ratings is continuing, but the flagship show, Monday Night Raw, they really got some problems going on right now with their show. And I tell you right now, after watching what they're currently doing with King, you know, the last time that we did an episode here of Raw Deal, we were talking about what we would like to see if Kane were to come back at Night of Champions. How would he come back? What would he look like? What would we want him to do? And one of the things that I brought up was I wanted to see retro Kane. I wanted to see, you know, Kane come back in a similar suit that he wore in 1997 with the same similar mask, that Michael Myers, you know, Jason Voorhees type of character. And what they gave us at Night of Champions was this same stale retread of a guy wearing a mask with a wig sewn into it. And when I think of this version of Kane, I don't really see, you know, the entertainment value of it. I don't really get excited for this because it just reminds me of when he came back and was feuding with John Cena and, you know, Team Hell No and all that shit. That's what I think of when I look at this version of Kane. And he's been masked and unmasked so many times. And now they're doing this angle right now, which to me is basically a ripoff of the Joseph Park angle from TNA. I'm just not excited about it. And obviously the fans aren't by looking at these ratings numbers.
I mean, I think the most telling thing about the ratings number is that over the course of the 3 hours, normally Raw ratings go up because even though the start of the show is at 8 o'clock Eastern time, the 9 o'clock hour is usually when most people feel the show, quote, really begins, and then most people turn in for that final hour because you have that 11 o'clock overrun where the show ends, something shocking or at least something of note occurs where you might want to turn in next week, or it makes you turn in next week for the most part. Not this time. I mean, the show started at 8 p.m. with 3.48 million viewers, then it went down at 9 o'clock to 3.3 million viewers, and then the 10 o'clock hour got 3.19 million viewers, so the show went down hour after hour after hour. And that's not good when you're constantly losing your audience throughout the show. Now, even with Monday Night Football scoring a 13.5 rating, over 13 million people watched the Green Bay Packers versus Kansas City Chiefs, even though Raw ratings were still low in the past due to Monday Night Football, they still were gaining more momentum throughout the 3 hours. Not this time, they lost it. And I think that also speaks to the fact of their marketing, because right now, the Go to Hell tour is really just a online thing where they're marketing for the WWE Network, where they want Brock Lesnar to be this exclusive entity for the WWE Network. After these ratings, they changed their mind because Brock Lesnar is going to be on Raw this coming Monday. So they panicked, and now they realize, damn, we cannot just keep Brock Lesnar as a WWE Network exclusive. Because the idea of the Go to Hell tour was to say, oh, you can only see Brock Lesnar on the WWE Network for $9.99. So they really weren't promoting it that much on television. So in return, you're promoting Kane versus Seth Rollins. And when you're getting the shitty version of Kane that you just described instead of the Michael Myers Kane that we wanted, it's not really going to keep people tuning in week after week.
No, and I think, wasn't the main event of this past Monday's show, wasn't that Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt?
Yes, and that's not main event material at all.
Right, right. Because both characters, to me, personally, I think Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt are damaged goods. Especially Bray Wyatt.
I mean, I think both of them are kind of stale right now, but the difference is like Roman Reigns has never been really a hot character, where they wanted to be a hot character, but he hasn't been. Bray Wyatt has had ups and downs where he's been hot for a while, then he's been stale for a while, but the character is very resilient, and Bray Wyatt himself is a resilient performer where I feel he will be hot again at some point. He just takes the right angle, the right opponent at the right time, but Roman Reigns is just not going to catch on to the degree that WWE thinks he's going to.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. I mean, looking back on it, you know, the initial run of The Shield, I mean, people had it pretty much figured out that Roman Reigns was going to be the top star. He was going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. Dean Ambrose was going to be that heel. And Seth Rollins was, we don't know what's going to happen with Seth Rollins. He's going to be a floundering babyface. And, like, my goodness, look at where it's at right now.
Oh, absolutely, because I think this member of The Shield is really what hurt Roman Reigns the most, because now that they're all three of them are on their own, you saw that Seth Rollins is more than capable of doing his own thing. You've seen that Dean Ambrose is capable of doing his own thing. Roman Reigns, not so much.
I totally agree. And, you know, Adley, as we move on here, let's go ahead and give a rundown right now of the MSG card. The MSG show is going to happen tomorrow night exclusively on the WWE Network for $9.99, or you get through a free trial for the month of October. You can do that. So we're going to start off the card like this. John Cena versus Seth Rollins for the United States Championship. This is going to be in a steel cage, Adley. Who are you going for this one?
I'm going with John Cena because we actually heard some news that John Cena might be taking time off WWE for personal reasons. And even if that is the case, I don't see him losing the United States title here because I don't think putting the U.S. title back on Seth Rollins is going to do Seth Rollins any good. So I think we get an FU or an attitude adjustment from the top rope, and Cena retains.
At the same time, with this situation, people have to understand something. This, even though this is a WWE Network special, it is still a house show. So we're not going to see any really big title changes there unless it's going to be, you know, going on to the next match, you know, with the tag team titles. But we'll get to that in a second. My thoughts on it, you know, I totally agree with you. We're going to see John Cena retain the United States Championship. There's not going to be a title change here in this match. It's not going to happen. Next match is going to be for the WWE Tag Team Championships. We have the New Day taking on the Dudley Boys. And at least to me, I'm thinking I smell a title change here. I think if you're going to put the belts on the Dudley Boys, New York City is the place to do it.
I could have said it better myself. I mean, if it's in Madison Square Garden, that's the Dudley Boys' home. I mean, in a way, you know, New York City is really Dudleyville if you want to kind of, you know, bring it there. And I think also the fact that it's in New York, it's in a steel cage, it could be their 10th time, and it's exclusively on the WWE Network. I think it just plays all the right tunes where if you put the belt for the Dudleys, it's another reason to say, hey, this is one of the reasons why you need to get the WWE Network, because you'll see stuff like this. So, in my opinion, the Dudley Boys walk away with their 10th tag team titles.
Couldn't agree more. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, I'm a New Day fan. You know, I think New Day rocks. I really do. But I think the last couple weeks, their promos have not really been lighting the run on fire. I don't really think they've been that funny as they were. I think the best, you know, entertaining segment that they've done so far was at SummerSlam. You know, that was the shit. Nonetheless, hopefully, you know, in a couple weeks they get some, you know, funnier material. That's just my personal opinion, though.
I personally think that nothing in WWE has been really lighting it on fire, and that includes the New Day. But I think the New Day is going to be one of those tag teams that they're going to end up with multiple reigns as tag team champions. None of them will be long, but I think they'll get the belts, lose them, and then get them back again and lose them shortly thereafter. I think that's what I see in the future of the New Day.
We go on here to the Intercontinental Championship, and this is actually kind of an interesting match here, simply because of what happened at Night of Champions with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho will be facing the current champion, Kevin Owens, tomorrow night at MSG. I definitely see Kevin Owens retaining the belt.
Oh, I see Kevin Owens retaining the belt, too, because, I mean, Chris Jericho winning another Intercontinental title does nothing. And with what he did at Night of Champions, kind of walking out on the Shield after being choked out by Braun Strowman, I think this is just going to add fuel to the fire of whatever character they're having Chris Jericho currently portray. And plus, then again, it's not really a match that they're advertising, per se. They're really only advertising on TV the Lesnar match and the Dudley Boys match. So I think Kevin Owens walks out of MSG still IC champion.
Right, and the thing about it, too, is that Jericho is going to be heading back on the road with Fozzy after this. So I don't know. You know, I don't know why they would have brought Jericho back to begin with, did the angle they did with, you know, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns if they weren't going to really invest the time into building it. Because it would look like at Night of Champions, if you didn't know any better, you would think, especially with the post-match promo in the back, you would have thought that Jericho turned heel.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it could be one of those deals where, you know, Jericho takes some time off, does the thing with Fozzy, and then when you least expect it, boom, Jericho comes back, turns on Roman Reigns, does something else, and becomes a heel. Because Jericho, as good as a babyface he is a much better heel.
Right. I'm really not a fan of Jericho, but I agree with you nonetheless. Moving on here, we got Dolph Ziggler taking on Rusev. Okay, now I'm you know, sick and tired of this feud. I want this feud to be over quickly, and hopefully it ends tomorrow night at MSG. I'm picking Ziggler to go over here.
Yeah, in my opinion, Dolph Ziggler's going over, and just like you said, Frank D, I hope this is it.
Speaking of you hope this is it, I hope this is it with this match that I'm going to talk about next. I mean, my goodness, how many more times can they put this match down our throats? We got Sheamus versus Randy Orton Again. I'm just sick and tired of saying it.
Unfortunately, Frankie, this will not be the last time we see Sheamus versus Randy Orton, because WWE, over the last few years, they do some booking things where they kind of put themselves in a particular pattern, and right now, when in doubt, and they're not sure what to put on TV on a particular card, they just say, hey, let's put our Sheamus versus Randy Orton again. It's a great match. People love it. Well, people don't really love it because we've seen it a million times, and you're not exactly talking about two of the most versatile performers. Randy Orton's pretty good, but Sheamus, you know, not exactly a versatile performer, so you're only going to get so many different things out of these two when you see them wrestle over and over and over again. And I hope this is the last time we see it, but probably not. My pick is Sheamus.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Randy Orton on here. I think Randy Orton is going to hit him with the RKO. Because WWE is known to book the champions and Money in the Bank winners in a losing position. So I think Randy Orton is going to get the win here. That takes us to Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show. Now, a lot of people out there probably remember this. Back Survivor Series 2002, Madison Square Garden, WWE Championship. Brock Lesnar defended against The Big Show, in which Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar, causing him to match. Big Show won the WWE Championship that night. I think this night, tomorrow night, Brock Lesnar is going to be the winner.
Yeah, I mean, they're promoting Brock Lesnar, the Go to Hell Tour. This is one of the stops on it. And I don't see Brock Lesnar losing a house show match, much less losing a match to the Big Show on his way to Hell in a Cell, where he's going to face The Undertaker in the rubber match. So Brock Lesnar, giant F5, 1-2-3.
Absolutely. And also, advertised on the show, but we don't know if this is actually going to make the network presentation or not, but also advertised for the MSG show tomorrow night, Charlotte, who is a current Divas champion, Team Bella, Kane, and Mark Henry. They're all advertised, but we are yet to find out if they're actually going to be appearing on the show. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, Edwin.
We shall see tomorrow night for only $9.99.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about John Cena taking time off. He's going to have some dates coming up. You know, I guess they're going to be doing some kind of international tour. I guess Cena will be working that. But, you know, he's taking time off for personal reasons. Now, this, to me, could not have come at a worse time for WWE with the, you know, steady ratings decline. I mean, do you think that Cena going away is going to really further impact the ratings?
It will, depending on how long John Cena is going to be gone for, because you're talking about John Cena as a guy who hates missing time. He's always there for the company, works on his day off as often as possible, and he comes back from injury a lot sooner than he should. He always has. So I think something has to be seriously wrong for him to take time off for personal reasons, because this is a guy that just, whether you like him or you hate him, he's a worker. He's a workhorse in that ring.
Absolutely. So it must be something here. And speaking of John Cena, and I just mentioned here Team Bella, you know, I guess on that Total Divas show, I don't watch the show, Adley, but I guess season finale ended with Dolph Ziggler, who at one point in time was in a relationship with Nikki Bella. I guess he professed some type of feelings for her, that he still had feelings for her, and I guess, you know, people have been talking about a possible feud between Dolph Ziggler and John Cena over Nikki Bella. And I think personally, you know, they could go somewhere with that. I think that could be maybe a money feud, but you have to expose the fact. I mean, they haven't really exposed it too much on WWE flagship show Raw. I mean, they've done it on Total Divas, but as far as Raw, SmackDown, or whatever, to the mass majority of WWE fans, they don't know that, you know, John Cena and Nikki Bella are actually in a relationship.
I don't know how this is really going to work, because if the storyline is going to be Cena versus Ziggler with Nikki Bella at the center of it all, you know, logic would say that's going to make Dolph Ziggler the heel, because he knows Nikki Bella's in a relationship, and he's saying he wants her back, he cares about her, and he knows that, okay, this is John Cena's girl now. So that kind of makes him the heel in this situation. But then again, I don't know how much sympathy, if they do go this route, how much sympathy you would actually get from Nikki Bella, being that she is also a heel. So you essentially have, you know, two heels and then one babyface that nobody likes with John Cena besides the kids. So I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
Well, you know what? You're right. It makes Dolph Ziggler out to be the heel, and I'll tell you why. Look at what Ziggler's already done recently on TV by going after Summer Rae when she knows that Summer Rae, quote-unquote, is with Rusev. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same type of situation here. I mean, it just seems like the angle that they're trying to pull here is that Dolph Ziggler is going after, you know, dudes, girls. So, you know, that's end up getting his ass whooped for that. I think that's where they're going with it. Me, personally, I'd love to see a Ziggler. Even though I'm sick and tired of Ziggler, it would be something different. You know what I mean? I'm not a fan of Nikki Bella at all. I think she's, you know, I think she sucks, literally. But she sucks. So I'm not a fan of her. But I do think that this angle has potential. At least it gets Ziggler away from Rusev, because this is just shit. And I'm really sick and tired of seeing John Cena wrestle Seth Rollins over and over again. So this would be something new for both of them, and you know, maybe they can get something going. But that's just speculation right now. We're not saying that that's gonna happen. We're just talking about if it were to happen. And I think that would be good. I think that you need to turn Dolph Ziggler heel at this point. I think that Ziggler is being wasted. I think that's why I'm so bored with him, is that he's being wasted as a babyface. They need to turn him heel.
I agree with you as far as turning Dolph Ziggler heel, because if you look at the landscape of WWE heels right now, you have Rollins, and that's, you know, that's almost it. I mean, Kevin Owens is good, but I think you need a good third heel, and I think you've done as much as you're possibly going to do with Dolph Ziggler as a babyface, so turning him heel may be the way to go.
And speaking of turning people heel, about 2 weeks ago on Raw, Paige delivered what some people say was a pipe bomb promo, in which she talked about, you know, Charlotte, the only reason why Charlotte has a belt is because of her old man being Ric Flair. You know, she talked about, you know, the fact that the Bellas got where they are because of Daniel Bryan and John Cena. And a lot of people in the crowd didn't react to it. That's what goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, do people really know that Cena and Nikki Bella are in a relationship? I think majority of the fans probably don't know that fact. So to expose this on WWE television might be interesting. It might be an interesting angle. The best storylines come out of real-life situations. So nonetheless, Paige did this promo. Paige officially turned heel. Where do you think they're going to go with this situation with Paige? I mean, I'm not a Paige fan. But I have to admit, I did like the promo.
I mean, Paige has been on the WWE main roster for slightly over a year now, and she's almost going into that Big Show territory. She's turned from babyface to heel, back to babyface, and now to heel quite a few times already. Not nearly as much the Big Show, but if they keep doing that with her at this rate, she's going to be a stale character before too long, so they usually make up their mind. And plus, this Divas Revolution that she's supposed to be spearheading, and then now it's like, oh, well, I really didn't mean anything about the Revolution. I just wanted it to be for myself. It kind of fell flat to me.
The whole promo fell flat. It really did. It fell flat. I mean, I liked the promo because, you know, I know what she's talking about, but majority of the casual fans out there, they didn't know. It went completely over their head. So that's the reason why it didn't work. But, I mean, I think the whole, in a whole situation, the Divas Revolution sucks ass. Other than, you know, what's going on in the main roster. Now, if you want to take it to the women's division at NXT, I mean, NXT TakeOver Respect, Adley. We're going to have two of the best women's wrestlers in the world going at it. We got the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Bayley versus the Boss, Sasha Banks, in a 30-minute Iron Maiden match. I mean, they're gonna tear the house down, man.
Oh, I agree with you more. And also, I mean, that card looks pretty good, too, because you have the new female wrestler for Japan, Asuka, S-A-S-U-K-A, taking on Dana Brooke, Apollo Crews taking on Tyler Breeze, and you have the semifinals and finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, where the Mechanics taking on Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe, and they'll meet the winner. And the winner of that match will beat the winner of Baron Corbin and Rhino versus Chad Gable and Jason Jordan in the finals, all happening the same night. Now, Frank D, I'm going to ask you the big question.
Yeah.
If you're booking NXT and you remember the huge reaction Bayley versus Sasha Banks got at NXT Brooklyn, do you make this match the main event? Not the co-main event, but the main event at NXT TakeOver Respect?
Yes. Yes, you do. Because even though Finn Balor and Kevin Owens went out there and had a hell of a ladder match, it didn't top that women's match. So, yeah, you can have these two women go out there and do something that really you rarely see that happen on Monday Night Raw. You don't. Well, it's never happened on Monday Night Raw. It's never really happened in WWE television, period, where two women can actually go out there and main event a show. So I'm all for it. And with these two go out there, you already know it's going to be a hell of a match. I don't know, though, if they can top what they did at Brooklyn.
It's going to be hard to top what they did in Brooklyn, but even if it's on par, what they do in Brooklyn, I think it's successful because even though it's we rarely get women's main events, this is also I can't recall seeing a women's Iron Man match either. So
right.
That would be two firsts if you really think about it. I think if you're going to put that much prestige and pressure on two ladies that can go in the ring, you got the right two in Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see it personally. And it's going to be at Full Sail University, so all the fans at Full Sail were very happy about that. That fact that they're going to get that match, and I think it's going to be a hell of a show. I can't wait to see it, personally.
Agreed.
Speaking of shows here, we're going to give a little love to the Dead Brand TNA. Let's talk a little bit about Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's give our predictions here for Bound for Glory, which is going to be this Sunday. You got a little of a situation, though, Ellie. You got a hurricane, I understand, moving into the area. So that could be affecting matters for TNA.
We got a touch of that hurricane. We're getting the tail end of the hurricane. Very cold weather, lots of rain, but nothing what may be in store for Concord, North Carolina. So my thoughts and prayers to the people that have suffered the worst parts of this hurricane so far.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit here about Bound for Glory, and this is the official card right now for Bound for Glory. So we're going to start off right now. We got the TNA World Heavyweight Championship on the line. We have the champion, EC3, defending against Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy in a triple threat match. Me, personally, I'm going to go with EC3.
I'm actually going to go with Drew Galloway on this one because it looked like over the last few weeks and maybe the last couple of months that Drew Galloway has been slowly but surely positioned as the top babyface. As far as TNA is concerned. Now, I kind of wish it was only a singles match, EC3 versus Drew Galloway. I think it would have been better, but you have to give it to TNA. They're doing their best with what they have. It's in Concord, North Carolina, home of the Hardy Boys, so putting Matt Hardy in the match and also having Jeff Hardy as a special guest referee, that's hopefully going to do something for the gates, you know, come Sunday. So, you know, it's a good idea to get more ticket sales. But I think this might be the time to, you know, put it on Drew Galloway and see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm going to go with EC3 on this one. Like I said before, I think EC3 has the charisma, and he can carry it. And if they were going to do a response to, say, Finn Balor for that picture, I think EC3 would be the perfect guy to give a response, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
For the TNA Tag Team Championships, we have the Wolves taking on Trevor Lee and Brian Myers. I'm going to have to go with the Wolves.
Yeah, I have to go with the Wolves, too. I think it's a logistics thing where I don't see Trevor Lee and Brian Myers sticking around for too much longer after this show. So I think the Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Dave Richards, you know, still come out as tag team champions. And I just hope that you can actually do something with them and not one of them gets hurt this time and you can do something consistent with them. I hope all the bad luck as far as the Wolves are concerned is done. And get some good matches and some good storylines from here on end.
Right. And we also have the TNA Knockouts Championship on the line. We have Gail Kim defending against Awesome Kong. And I got to go with Awesome Kong on this one.
This could be match of the night. I mean, the way I look at it, Awesome Kong is good. When she's good, she's really good. But also, when she's bad, she's pretty bad. And Gail Kim is one of the most consistent performers on the entire TNA roster, not just the women, but the entire roster. So I am going to go with Gail Kim.
All right. X Division title match, Ultimate X. We got Tigre Uno defending that championship against, against some random X Division guys. I guess that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be an Ultimate X match. I really don't know what they have planned for this match. X Division booking is usually all over the place, so I wouldn't be surprised if they bring somebody back from the past. Or they just keep it on Tigre Uno. I mean, I think the safe bet, you know, as long as you have Tigre Uno under contract for a while, keep it on him.
I totally agree with you, so I'm going to go with Tigre Uno as well. King of the Mountain Championship match. You got Bobby Roode taking on Bobby Lashley. This match here, man, I'm going to have to go with Bobby Lashley.
I'm actually going to go opposite on this one. I'm going to go Bobby Roode because Bobby Lashley is fighting for Bellator pretty soon. And the difference is when TNA was on Spike TV, they had a relationship with Bellator. That relationship no longer exists. And also, there's a new owner with Bellator as well. So I don't know how much he really likes that Lashley's doing pro wrestling. I think he's going to be in a position pretty soon between TNA's financial woes and Bellator wanting Bobby Lashley to really focus more on them, that he's got to choose between one or the other as far as those two companies are concerned. And I think the safe bet is to put it on Bobby Roode.
Well, I mean, the belt doesn't mean a damn thing anyway.
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean, this match really doesn't mean anything anyway, but I'm just thinking, you know, for the fact that they're probably going to be able to use Bobby Roode more than they can use Bobby Lashley, I'm going to just stick with him. I could be wrong, though, but that's the way I'm going.
All right. We also have a Bound for Glory Gauntlet Battle Royal happening at Bound for Glory, and the winner of this Battle Royal gets a future shot at the TNA Heavyweight Championship. And the participants, here are some of the names here, Adley. We got Mr. Anderson, Chris Melendez, Aiden O'Shea, Abyss, Tyrus, Elijah Drake, and Robbie E.
I mean, the way I look at this gauntlet match, they could also put a few surprises in there that weren't advertised. I don't really see any of these guys in particular ready, you know, for the world title situation. It all depends on what they're looking to do, because if you're looking at it, the main event, I don't see Matt Hardy at all walking away with the title, unless they want to just pop the North Carolina crowd. So let's say EC3 walks away with this, with the belts. Who in that battle royal is going to be compelling? I mean, do you want to see EC3 versus Ken Anderson? Do you want to see him against Tyrus? Do you want to see him against Robbie E? Or Chris Melendez? Then you look at Drew Galloway, where, you know, Abyss, Drew Galloway and Abyss, that could be something good. Aiden O'Shea and Drew Galloway could be something. You know, so you do have some interesting options, but if I'm going to just roll the dice and pick a name out of a hat, I'm going to go with Abyss on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Abyss too. And I'm going to go with Abyss simply because right now, in my opinion, you have WWE that, you know, have taken that Joseph Park storyline, they're using it on their TV. So, of course, TNA is going to say, let's put Abyss with our champion and kind of do the same damn thing.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm going to pick Abyss, you know, as well to win this Battle Royal. And that leads us to the last match on the card here. We have Kurt Angle taking on Eric Young.
If TNA, Dixie Carter, John Gaborik, and anybody else that writes that show were smart, they would have Eric Young beat Kurt Angle clean in this match, because TNA is not going to be on Destination America after a couple more months, and Kurt Angle's already announced that he's not resigning with TNA, and after the year is over, he's going to take time from pro wrestling and do his own thing. So the man himself has already announced he is leaving TNA. So, and the fact that they're going to be looking, TNA's going to be looking for another network soon, another home, they need to have as many stars as possible on their roster. They need to have as many wrestlers with a high profile as possible. So if you could have Eric Young beat Kurt Angle and do it in a good way, that will raise the profile of Eric Young, thus hopefully raise the profile of TNA. So if they're smart, Eric Young wins this all the way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Kurt Angle on this one. I think that Kurt Angle on the biggest show of the year, I think that he is not going to do the job. So I'm going to have to go with Kurt Angle.
You know, you're probably right, but I just hope that's not what they do. But you're probably right, Frank.
Right. And that's our thoughts and predictions on the Bound for Glory show, which is going to be this Sunday night on pay-per-view. And we're going to close out the Raw deal talking about ProWrestlingTees.com, and specifically the store of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. You know, Adley, Jim Neidhart launched the ProWrestlingTees.com store the other day. I actually saw some of the shirts. I thought they were pretty cool. They have a Hart Foundation shirt, Jim the Anvil Neidhart shirt, etc. Well, WWE, you know, lawyers actually sent ProWrestlingTees, I guess, a cease and desist from selling merchandise for Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I guess Jim Neidhart is under some sort of a Legends contract with WWE that has an exclusive in it that says that they exclusively sell his merchandise. Now, Adley, I don't know about you, but I frequent WWEshop.com a lot, and I don't see any Jim Neidhart merchandise. And Pro Wrestling Tees actually released a statement stating that they don't understand how you can have an exclusive contract to a guy, an exclusive right to sell his merchandise, and there's no merchandise.
I completely agree. I think this is just WWE's way of saying, hey, look, we want to be not just only the number one source of content and merchandise when it comes to professional wrestling, but they want to be the only source of content and merchandise when it comes to professional wrestling. And the fact that they're stopping the Pro Wrestling Tees store from selling Geneva Neidhart merchandise, it's kind of just a petty thing because, I mean, let's be real. I mean, I got respect for Jim Neidhart. You know, Hart Foundation, one of my favorite tag teams, but, you know, that company has bigger fish to fry than Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I mean, let's be real. I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's Steve Austin has his own store on Pro Wrestling Tees, and Kevin Nash has his own store on Pro Wrestling Tees, and they both work with WWE on a consistent basis, and WWE still sells merchandise for Kevin Nash and the NWO and Steve Austin merchandise, those retro t-shirts, and now Jim Neidhart, who has a legend deal, wants to, you know, get some extra money in his pocket and hopefully make some extra money for the Pro Wrestling Tees shop. And now WWE's like, nope, can't do it. You work with us. So it's like, why are you picking on the little guy but not the big guy? I don't understand this.
Well, I mean, really, it's all depending on who you know. I mean, we, you know, Kevin Nash is, you know, pretty good friends, obviously, with Trips. So, I mean, that there you go right there. That's the reason why, you know, his merchandise is able to be sold. And Kevin Nash has, you know, click merchandise up on his store on ProWrestlingTees.com. And as we're doing the Raw deal right now, I can tell you that it looks like Jim Neidhart's store has been removed from ProWrestlingTees.com. So that's too bad.
There's probably some political motivation behind this that we're not aware of.
Well, you know something? Bret Hart came out recently and spoke kind of negative about the Owen Hart DVD. And all of a sudden now, you know, they want to start, you know, putting the screws to Neidhart and saying, okay, well, he can't sell any merchandise, whatever. So you're probably right. There's probably some political petty bullshit that's going on here. But I tell you what, if they remove Jim Neidhart's merchandise from ProWrestlingTees.com, if they actually did it, then, yeah, I want to see what WWE is going to put out there for Jim Neidhart. I want to see the new Hart Foundation t-shirts that they're going to put up.
Agreed.
You know, since they want to be, you know, do some panty-eddy bullshit, let's see what they can do. And I can't wait to see the new Jim Neidhart shirts that WWE is going to put out since they have an exclusive merchandising deal with Jim Neidhart. You know, but here's the thing. Do they have an exclusive deal with is Hacksaw Jim Duggan under some type of Legends contract?
You know, I wonder if the Legends deals originally weren't exclusive, but now they are, and maybe Jim Neidhart was one of the first people to sign off on an exclusive Legends deal. I mean, if it truly is exclusive, then WWE is not really in the wrong. But at the same time, if all of them are exclusive and they're letting certain guys do it and certain guys not do it, then it's really just petty bullshit. Because if we look at Kevin Nash, you look at Jim Neidhart, not to, you know, belittle Jim Neidhart, but I guarantee you, any pro wrestling, any store on the planet that sells both guys' merchandise, Kevin Nash merchandise is going to sell a lot more than Jim Neidhart merchandise. Let's just be real.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, Jim Neidhart actually had some pretty cool t-shirts up there. Like I said, they had the Hart Foundation up there. And that's when this story originally broke about Jim Neidhart, I thought, okay, they're targeting him because of the Hart Foundation or something like that. Well, it came out that WWE doesn't actually have a trademark on Hart Foundation. They don't have a trademark on Hart Foundation. They don't have a trademark on his name. Apparently, this all goes back to, you know, his exclusive contract he has with the WWE as far as the Legends deal. That's what it goes back to. But, you know, my original, you know, thing was, I said, does Hacksaw Jim Duggan also have a Legends deal? Because if he does, I'm on ProWrestlingTees.com right now as we are recording the Raw deal, and he has a store up right now selling t-shirts.
I mean, I just look at this from a business perspective. If they're really afraid of, oh, if this is legit and there's no petty BS behind this, WWE is not really going to lose much money on this, because the whole point of them taking the merchandise down is because they're afraid they're going to lose money because no one's going to buy Jim Neidhart merchandise on their end if they have it on sale at ProWrestlingTees.com. But number one, they're not selling Jim not have merchandise.
No, they're not.
So, like, what's the problem?
Well, I don't know. I believe, you know something? I mean, two shirts that stuck out to mind were the Hart Foundation shirts. And maybe, you know, with the Owen Hart DVD about to come out, maybe they want to, you know, start pushing some Hart Foundation t-shirts or something like that. So maybe that's what it was. But all I know is that as we speak right now, his store is gone from ProWrestlingTees.com. So I think that sucks. I think it's just WWE continuing to pick on the little guy. And speaking of little guys, we're going to finish up with this. What did you think about Hornswoggle violating the wellness policy?
You know what's funny about that? I remember just the other day before that story broke, I said to myself, wow, you want to know something that's interesting? You haven't heard of any wellness policy violations in quite some time. I wonder why. Is everybody in the roster truly behaving themselves and not doing, you know, the stuff that get them popped for a positive test? Or is it just that WWE is not releasing the results? And all of a sudden, boom, Hornswoggle gets popped. And the report going around is that he didn't take the test, from what I'm hearing. Report I'm hearing is that apparently they wanted to do the urine analysis and he just didn't do it for whatever reason. Maybe he literally couldn't provide a sample or he just wouldn't do it. I mean, I'm not sure if that's an accurate story, but that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, really? So they just suspended him just cause?
Well, because it's like in any other combat sport, if you refuse to take the test or don't take the test, then that's the same as failing the test. And the report I read was that they gave him some time to take the test, and for whatever reason, he just couldn't pee. He just couldn't provide us a sample, and that's the same as a failure. I mean, again, I don't know if it's accurate, but, again, Hornswoggle, I mean, they're not really doing much with him on TV anyway, so, you know, it is what it is. Hornswoggle got popped for the wellness violation. I guess it's been almost 2 years since we've heard of a wellness violation, and I guess he's the first one. Officially.
Well, that's too bad. That's too bad about Hornswoggle. I mean, I'm not really a fan, but that's too bad nonetheless. That's going to conclude this edition of the Raw Deal Podcast here. Edley, go ahead and plug your social media.
Again, hit me up on Twitter at @LeeGreen and check out my blog at thegreenscreen.net.
All right. And presentees.com/Gerwick. Is the place to go to get Gerwick.net in GRP merchandise. We have a sale going on right now, 20% off at checkout. Use the promo code Gerwick, GERWECK, and you get that 20% discount. They ship internationally. They ship domestically. PayPal, credit, debit, you name it, you can use it. So check it out right now, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Myself and Allie Green will be back up here next week on another edition of the Raw Deal, so stay tuned. And we'll catch you next time.